This podcast does contain spoilers, so if you're okay with that, listen on. If not, pause the podcast, go watch the movie we're about to talk about, and come on back.
All right, sweet.
Excuse me.
Brian, over here. Hey.
Pardon me.
Why don't you have the popcorn? It's starting!
Woo!
Hey!
Shut up and listen to the podcast. Hey!
There's a lot out there to see. This is what we watched.
That would be weird.
Regardless.
I don't see how that matters. I don't see how that makes any bit of difference.
Doesn't. Anyway. Fallout!
Fallout.
Wow. Digging deep into the depths of childhood.
I was going to say the depths that digging deep in the vault, but you know, whatever.
Oh, you know, that
go ahead and
too.
Ruin it. That's cool. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate that.
Captain missed opportunity over here.
Uh-huh.
So, all right, episode 5.
All right. Well, yes, so we're just going to jump right into it. I like it, guys. I like it. Well, welcome to the podcast. This is what we watch. It's a movie review podcast. It's for movie lovers. It's for TV lovers, especially right now while we're doing our Fallout series.
Yes,
and it's
sir.
For those who love really crowded rooms with a lot of fucking people. Because, Matt, did you know that Luke went to, it's not Comic-Con anymore, Fan Expo?
Fan Expo,
Denver,
yeah.
Fan Expo.
Comic-Con?
And, oh, yeah. No, he sent me videos and pictures throughout the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And basically going neener.
Right. That's what I thought too, because I got the same thing and I was pretty much like, wow, rub it in, why don't you?
Yeah.
Look how cool I am that
and
I got to
it's
go.
It's not like I didn't invite both
other,
of you.
No, that's true. You did. But
yeah, but you didn't buy either
of
us a ticket.
The star of our show, like
exactly.
The show that we're watching, Ella Purnell.
Uh-huh.
Which, well done on that.
Yeah, she was such a delight. The room was crowded with people who were fans of her from Arcane, from
right,
she played Arcane. Jinx on that. She was in Miss Peregrine's.
School for. Title. Oh my gosh, I know what you're talking about. It's that
gifted
Tim Burton
children
movie.
Or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, based on a book.
There were people that were there for that, and then of course, Yellow Jackets, and what we're here for today, Fallout. Don't you wanna Fallout?
Oh, man.
Don't you wanna Fallout? I got you. I know where you're going with this.
I mean, after this coming election, I might want to Fallout.
Oh, boy.
Yay, politics, which is actually kind of what we're talking about today.
So
today, on the podcast, we are talking episode 5 of the series, the second half of the first season of the video game adaptation that is sweeping the nation or has swept the nation and now everyone's forgotten about and moved on from, which is right when we swoop in and talk about it. Yeah.
Until 2 years from now.
Until 2 years from now when they make season 2.
Is that confirmed?
I mean, season 2 is listed. It doesn't have a release date, but I would assume it's going to be 2 years.
Usually once IMDb has it listed,
it's
pretty much in the books, like it's,
nah.
Well, I would
nah.
Say so.
Things can be in development. Things can be in pre-production. Things can be, you know, just rumored for a long time.
It's
IMDb
It's a safe guess to say that.
That's what I was saying.
The success in a Fallout of the first season.
Oh well, it's definitely getting into a second season.
I mean,
the
third iteration of Doctor Who is getting another season.
Cool.
Which it did very poorly, unfortunately, on Disney Plus, but. My girlfriend and I really enjoyed it. But that's not what we're here for. We're here for Fallout.
We are here for Fallout. So,
which did a lot better streaming-wise and ratings-wise.
Sure did. It sure did. I mean, but with good reason. Like, this had a lot of attention put to it, but it also was a very popular IP. So, you know, there's a lot that you can do with something like that, whereas I think something like Doctor Who, now I haven't seen any of it, something like Doctor Who is a lot more locked in and a lot more, you know, limited with what you can do with it but also I think the fan base with Doctor Who is a lot closer to rioting if you mess it up than with Fallout
Fallout's
an open world, an open concept. It's
base.
A you know, you can plop people in any time period and just say, hey, the bomb's dropped at this point instead of this point, and everything you thought you knew is a lie because you've been lied to.
That's true. You know. And we start to discover that in episode 5.
Exactly.
So to really kind of get into it, I think one of the major themes in this show is disillusionment. We see it through Lucy's point of view. We see it. We've started to see it with Titus or Maximus's point of view. We see the completion of that disillusionment through the ghoul, but specifically in episode 5, we really start to see it with Norm. And I love those ideas of just planting the seeds of doubt or lifting the veil completely.
Right.
Because we've seen it throughout the show, but this time around, it's kind of done more methodically, at least with Norm's story, which, frankly, oddly enough to me, I actually found to be one of the most interesting plots of the show.
I think I agree with you. I think I like how, because when I'm playing Fallout, every time I go into a vault, or every time that, you know, we're talking about a vault, like something more, you know, malicious is revealed. Yes. And it's something that's like, wow, this is really fucked up. Like, this is not anywhere close to what they promoted it to be, or, you know, touted it out to be. And, you know, there's something really messed up going on inside of each of these vaults. And I love watching the characters themselves discover that it's not this paradise. It's not this Eden. The horrible truth is something that nobody could have ever even considered. But that's, again, that's humanity. Like, there's always something that we as humans do to fuck up paradise.
Yeah.
Period. Now, and it's such an awesome commentary.
I can't remember. Did we discuss this last episode with drawing comparisons to Miranda on Serenity?
I think we started to.
Yeah, that seems familiar.
I think you mentioned that, yes, it seems very Miranda-esque, and then we kind of veered off from there, or that was towards the end of the episode.
It is veered off for sure, but we get a little more of it in this episode because they start exploring Vault 32, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I saw or thought Miranda is because it's a very similar situation where they're going through this. It looks happy, but there's still bodies everywhere.
Yes.
And you can tell they destroyed themselves.
Right. Right.
But for what reason?
Right.
How did they destroy themselves? That's what's so interesting in this episode. Oddly enough, I also got a little bit of a Wizard of Oz vibe from this.
Okay.
Because Lucy is our Dorothy.
Sure.
The ghoul is our Scarecrow.
Oh.
And Titus is our Tin Man.
Yes. That's just because he has power armor.
Slash Cowardly Lion. But no, he's literally like frozen at one point.
True.
And needs to be freed from that.
True.
So,
and Thaddeus is the Cowardly Lion.
Thaddeus could very well be the Cowardly Lion, but I also see
I think
Maximus.
He has a lot more courage than we give him credit for. Or show like tries to tamper down a little bit.
I mean, he's definitely doing a lot more than what Maximus does.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah, Thaddeus. So, yeah, so to start the episode, it's one of the most disturbing openings that we have.
I
love with the head, like, all in fire, and then just that you know, shadowy, I guess, imagery.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. But, yeah, so then we cut to Maximus and Thaddeus just, you know, laughing over their, you know, their escapades.
Bonding.
And, yeah, they're bonding, exactly. Yeah. They're actually having, like, you know, a real friendship moment there. Mm-hmm. And I love, again, you should brand me. Absolutely. You know, do it. Really, it hurts.
I will say that was a great bit.
Great bit.
Yeah, you should brand me. And Max was like, yeah, I'm going to brand you, buddy.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. And of course, then again, showing just the difference between Maximus and Thaddeus, you know, Maximus gets branded and he, you know, has to keep it all together because it's in front of everybody and he's got something to prove. Hey, yeah. I don't feel pain. You know, I can be one of you. I can rise to whatever you need me to. And then Thaddeus just screeching the second. I mean, of course, because that's what I would do. 100%. I'd probably pass out from the pain. I'm just saying, I don't think that sounds fun in any way, shape or form.
No.
I mean, you'd be surprised what adrenaline can do.
I mean, do you think that's adrenaline or do you think that that's
pure shock?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, pure shock turning into adrenaline. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess if you're a masochist, you might get a little rush out of it. So
I haven't played enough Elden Ring or any of the From Software games to be a masochist. So
I did just catch up on The Boys, so I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about. different episode, different conversation for sure.
We should definitely do an episode on The Boys.
but the T Boys, I love that. I mean, speaking of The Boys, right? The T Boys, that line here, yeah. You know,
it's Titus, like Thaddeus.
Again, I love Thaddeus. I think he's just such an interesting character, and the actor he crushes it, and I love it so much.
Oh. Very much so.
But then especially, we even get to see like a little bit of his range as well when Maximus opens his mask up and we see that expression just drop. It's like, dude, what? They will fucking kill you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like pissed about like, hey, you tricked me or, you know, what the hell? It's just.
No, it's more about your duty.
Exactly. He's like, you're screwed, dude.
Yeah. Thaddeus definitely, he knows what the assignment is.
Mm-hmm.
And is willing to do what it takes to follow through on that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Maximus, again, he's all about the security, the power, the safety of it all.
Yeah.
Which is finally taken from him in this episode, which, nightmare fuel for that when the fuel core is taken out and he's just stuck in a suit.
Yep.
Can't move.
Like sleep paralysis almost.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But you can feel and see everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Terrifying.
Oh yeah, terrifying. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and just that scream as well, you know, that
yes,
just deep down that guttural, you know, fear basically.
Yep.
But also I love the game reference to the roll under the power armor. Cause you do a lot of rolling as Luke, you know, in Fallout. So I thought that was really cool. You know, a little Easter egg for those who've played.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, then getting back to my favorite, my title cards, the paint peeling. It's one of the first ones that doesn't match up exactly to what we've seen action wise, but I love it. It looks so realistic and so cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can tell it's like radiation peeling away from,
right.
Or peeling away at the,
I don't even think it's radiation. Like, I think it's just time. I think it's just paint just eroding
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's cool.
It's super cool. Super cool. And also, we get the first, glimpse of how, like, dangerous the rad roaches are. Because, you know, again, in-game, like, they're actually pretty dangerous. Like, you've got to take care of them. They will fuck you up. And this is the first time it's like, oh, these aren't just, you know, bugs that you can wipe away or you don't have to worry about. They're scuttle away. Like, they will fucking kill you. Yeah, and the score helps with that a lot, too.
Yep. Which, I don't know if we've talked about it enough, but this is the same composer that did all the music for Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
Did a great job.
Ramin. Oh.
Jawandi?
Jawandi, I think. Let me.
I am terrible with this guy's name. I feel bad about it.
Yeah, Ramin Jawandi.
Jawandi. Does a great job with the score. I definitely hear themes from the original game that he's able to weave into very well.
Yeah.
The like, dun, dun, dun. It's just, he's good at foreboding music. And I
absolutely
really appreciate that.
Absolutely. Yeah, that tension he creates is great. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, then Lucy, of all people, comes to the rescue, which is like real coincidental, right? Like, how would she be able to find him? And then you remember, oh, right, she's tracking the head that was just there hours ago. So, again, it all checks out. It's all fine. Yep. Don't worry about plot.
Well, that part is easily explained, though, because she has the Pip-Boy.
Yes, exactly.
So,
exactly.
Which is another element of the game.
Love
that's
it.
That's your map. That's your HUD.
Yep. That's everything.
Yeah.
That's everything.
It's your everything, and I love that.
But I love it because, like, you can see she's changed. And, yes, some of that is from the radiation sickness, but you can just see, like, she's been hollowed out. She's seen stuff. She's done things. Like, she's a different person than when we saw her last or when, you know, the last episode started even or when she came out of the vault. Like, she is a completely different person, and I love getting to see this change.
Well, and you know, for Ella Purnell, that's, you know, it's not the first time she's gone through a major character transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I actually got to ask her about how her character Jackie in Yellow Jackets prepared her for the role of Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of similarities between Jackie and Lucy. Jackie starts off as this, like, kind of popular girl leader of her soccer team, and then goes through this shit that like Lucy is going through where she has to survive in the wilderness. And I mean, Lucy's got a bit more of a chance than Jackie if you watch Yellow Jackets, but She's so good at playing those kind of transformations on screen.
Yeah. And it's just, it's a testament to the, you know, the storytelling. It really is. And then, of course, she helps Maximus get out of his power armor. And at first I was like, what the hell? How does she just know how all of this works? Like, this makes no sense. And again, then it's little lines in there like, oh, yeah, I've read about these in manuals, but I've never seen one up close. Yeah. So even things like I get upset about, like, I'm like, oh, my God, this makes no sense. How could you? Oh, no, it's just calm down.
Yeah.
The story will make sense. Just give it some time.
I will say that for the writers, they reward your patience.
Yes, absolutely.
If you just wait either a minute or an episode or two, you'll get your answers.
Absolutely.
Or not you're satisfied with those answers is different, but the answers are there.
You'll get your answer, exactly. And I find it so interesting that when Max is out of the power armor, or when before he gets out of the power armor, he chooses to lie to Lucy.
Yeah.
Like he continues this, you know, there's no need to lie to her. There's no, you know, she doesn't need to know that, you know, you stole this or that you let your knight die or anything like that. She doesn't need to know. She probably
She's
wouldn't
not part
care.
Of the Brotherhood. Yeah.
She's not part of the Brotherhood. I'm pretty sure now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't know about the Brotherhood because she asks him like, hey, you've got weapons and stuff, right? So, you know, this Brotherhood of yours, like, so this is a whole new concept. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, again, it's a perfect opportunity to do the right thing, but Maximus chooses to lie to her and chooses to be this other person. And it's something that we talked about when we were talking about the movie Hitman, Glenn Powell's movie on Netflix.
So good.
Which is a really decent movie. And you guys should all go check out the episode when you get a chance. I don't remember what episode it was. But the as if principle, where, you know, you act as if you are this person until you become this person.
Yes.
And
it's kind of fake it till you make it.
Yeah. Yes. Yep. This fake it till you make it kind of mentality. And he's just entrenched in this of I am this person and everyone is going to see me as this person. You know, even, you know, period, if I know you or if I don't know you, but especially for those who, you know, I don't know, because that's going to give me the leg up that I've been looking for. And it's going to give me the chance to be who I've wanted to be and never been given the chance to be.
Did you say as if?
Yes. The as if principle.
Is that a Clueless reference?
Unless Hitman is referencing Clueless, I don't know. Maybe.
They talk about as if?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The as if principle.
Because that's a pretty famous line from Clueless.
Oh yeah. Well, that different context though. But that, so going back to Maximus.
If anybody wants to listen to, it's episode 104, Three Reasons Why You Should Watch Hitman, out wherever you get your podcasts and also on YouTube.
I love it. Great, great stuff.
So back to Maximus.
Genuinely though, it is great stuff. But back to Maximus and his overall lying, I think that's one of the main things that I dislike about him. Because it's like you said, he has zero reason to lie to her at this point. Why continue it?
Mm-hmm. And I think it, again, it comes back to if I just act like this knight, if I act like who I want to be, others will see me as this, and then there won't be any question of my rank. There won't be any question of who I am, you know, of where I belong, of do I fit in. It will just be... Yeah. You know, the fact, and it will, I will manifest it basically, I think. And again, that's just really interesting to me to see somebody try to perpetuate that through and through, and to live as another person is very strange.
You know, this is a very common theme in Jonathan Nolan's work. You see it a lot in Westworld, in one of his most famous works is The Prestige. This deception and this playing another part, you know,
but those are more motivated. I mean, the androids in Westworld are motivated to play a different part simply to survive, because if they don't,
well, what's Maximus doing? He's just trying to survive.
Okay, but I don't know, it's not quite the same thing, because again, at this point he has zero reason to lie. There's no point. There's no threat to his survival by telling Lucy the truth.
Well, I think you just can't trust anyone in the Wasteland. That's like one of the rules of the Wasteland. Don't trust anyone.
Sure, and that's it's also interesting that Lucy is like, hey, I really want to believe you. I really want, you know, to trust you, but I've had a shitty week. Like, I've had people try to kill me. I've had to kill people. She's, you know, it's not been good, right?
And Maximus says that I had a shitty life.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. He's been doing this for years. So, yeah, I get why it could be motivated for Maximus to not trust her, not to trust anyone. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but him not trusting her is more about what just him happened. Perpetuating his lie.
Right, exactly. But it's going to get him in more trouble later.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know that, but he doesn't.
Right, he's a flawed character.
He should have learned his lesson at this point.
Not yet. No, not yet.
I mean, if you compare it to someone like Borden in The Prestige, it is just devotion to his art. Mm-hmm. That's why he is deceptive towards everyone.
But he was supposed to be a squire, not a knight, and he let his knight die. And then look at what just happened with Thaddeus. I get why he's like, I shouldn't tell anyone anything anymore.
I'm
fucked right now.
Right, yeah. Exactly. I can't reveal my secret. I've got to keep this closed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we know, again, which is just going to make everything worse for him later. But that's hubris, right? And that's the flawed character, not knowing, you know, when to stop, or not knowing that, you know, there is a chance to go back and make things right by just telling the truth.
Yeah.
So anyway, so then we get back to inside the vault. And Norm and Chet are coming back from 32. And I love that exchange. You know, like, okay, so let's get our story straight. If anybody asks where we were, and Chet's like, I'll have a heart attack. And then the first thing that happens, where the hell were you? Because of course it's Betty. Of course it is.
Yeah. Oh, Betty is such an interesting character. The more you see of her, the more you suspect something. Mm-hmm. Because again, what is their little thing about Vault 31?
Oh yes, the little where is that? That's after the next time jump. Maybe it's later.
Something.
Dark side.
No. You know what I'm trying to say, though? They have, like, this little slogan about Vault 31. Like, if you want something done, Vault 31. Something
along those lines. Yes, times of... where is it? When things look glum. When things look glum, vote for someone from the Vault 31.
It should be, when things look glum, vote for someone dumb.
But
seems to be the motto in America.
I don't know. Would you have gone with one of the other two candidates, though?
No, they're also dumb. She's a good politician, for sure.
Oh, she's so capable.
You know, I mean, speaking of the boys, she's giving Newman from The Boys, where she's got this different face than she has in public, in private.
She's giving Jodie Foster in Inside Man, if you've ever seen that.
Mm-mm.
So, quick side.
Is that a Coen Brothers?
No, that's a Spike Lee.
Oh, Spike Lee.
It's about a heist that goes on, and something very valuable is in one of the safety deposit boxes that is owned by the owner of the bank. So he calls on Jodie Foster, who's known as a power broker. And Jodie Foster's character in that is so terrifying. You know what she is capable of. And you're also curious, how the hell did she get to where she is? Like, what did she have to do to get to where she is? To where she could make mayors quake in their boots. And that's what I get from Betty. She is so capable. She is so powerful without doing a whole lot. But it's that level of cunning. And
well, she's Norm.
She is Norm.
I mean, she is, because, you know, she might not have the physical, you know, capabilities of some other people.
Really.
But she absolutely is.
Either that or she's just
coin.
Kind of initiating Norm into what could potentially happen in the future.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because again, she's cunning. She knows what it takes to kind of manipulate these people into doing whatever she wants.
She says words have power.
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
your words have weight, more weight than you realize.
Yep.
And so she already knows that, you know, she knows that people are going to listen to her and people are going to trust what she says.
Exactly.
But and also, she sees a lot of Norm in herself.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Or herself in Norm.
Yeah.
She's a lot of herself.
She's inadvertently giving him tips on how to be a more capable leader despite his appearance.
Yep, because it all comes down to management. We'll tease next episode.
Oh, can't wait for next episode. Oh, sorry.
And then right. It, so. So again, you know, and Betty knows something's up. Like you know that she knows something. And again, she plays that so fucking well.
Just the little glances here and there,
Or the lingering looks. Uh-huh. You know that
it's all intentional.
Oh, and of course it is.
Which I absolutely love when it's planned out like that, because again, it adds to the tension. Because if you know that they know, and they know that you know, it's just, but no one is saying it, it's just, it's lighting the fuse.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, then back on the surface, we get the good old team up, right? So Maximus chooses to save Lucy because, of course, they're the main characters, so they have to fall in love. So he has to save her. And so we get the good old team up, and I love the patriotic music, the Battle Hymn of the Republic placed right when it's like, no, it's my duty and I have to do this because rah, 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 America. But again, just another song placed at the perfect time. Perfect song choice. And then, yeah, we get the two of the three main characters together for the first time and off looking for the head. I like that team up. I think that, you know, it was a good time for the team up. We knew it was coming. We knew there was going to be more interaction with them. But I think that this is the right placement to get them together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep. And then, of course, then back in the vault, we're voting, right? Again, how, like Luke, you said, how pertinent, how relevant, and how, you know, interesting.
Eerily relevant.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the oversharing, the dude who's like, you did a great campaign, but, you know.
I put up 10 posters. That was my favorite line.
Fantastic. And then, of course,
they're running at a high school president level.
Yes.
And she's running at a state level. National campaign.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then he just turns around again. And it's just like, yeah, I'm going to vote for Betty. Yeah, I got that.
Thank you.
You're good.
You rubbed it in.
I got that impression. Fine. But and then the recurring joke when he tells the other guy as well, later in the episode, I love that. Just that callback almost is, I voted for Betty. It's like, you don't need to go around telling everybody, but that's just what we do. Like here, you know, in this time, in this present day, like we shout like, hey, mm-hmm. I'm voting for Biden. I'm voting for Trump. I'm voting for, you know, whoever it is. And we're like, we're proud of it. And the whole thing, you know, the whole set is you're supposed to be anonymous and it's supposed to be, you know, without influence. And that's just, again, it's all twisted. Everything's so twisted. And these shows just kind of expose it a little
bit. Reflection of our current society.
Absolutely.
Which, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I love that kind of commentary, though. I think
then you should watch The Boys.
You know what? I told Brandon, I'll tell you again, I will give it one more shot. I watched the first season. It took me almost a year to watch it because...
But you didn't finish it.
No, I did. I told you I finished it.
Oh, you did finish it?
Yeah, it took me almost a year to finish the first season because it was so dark and messed up. It just... It all rubbed me the wrong way. Whereas Fallout...
As it's supposed to.
It is supposed to. Absolutely. And so is Fallout. It's supposed to rub you the wrong way. But I think the ideas that are explored in Fallout are much more interesting to me than the ideas, or at least how the ideas are explored.
Yeah, Fallout's very palatable. Very palatable. Whereas
it's got a unique aesthetic.
Yes. And The Boys is very in your face, very graphic. It's very...
It's got the subtlety of a 2x4.
Exactly.
Which I love.
Oh, and sometimes you need that. Sometimes you absolutely need that. But I like how Fallout explores a lot of the ideas of management versus free will. I love the ideas of disillusionment that are thrown around in this show. I love how Lucy is already, like, episode 4 or 5, she's a different person.
Yeah.
A completely different creature than what she was in the first episode.
Exactly. And yet she's still going to cling to what she knows.
Absolutely. But I love how she's able to cling to those principles while still adhering to the situation of being on the surface, being
in the
Weasley.
New rule, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, which which you see in this upcoming scene when they're crossing the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and they come across those two guys, and you can see she wants to stay diplomatic, mm-hmm. and she wants to keep to her
and it is
the principle she grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but then there is this. There are the real world rules.
Yep.
That you don't trust anyone in this
and
world.
That was also a hilarious scene.
It really was. It really was. Yeah.
I loved how they were all playing diplomatic, yet they knew one or the other person was going to turn.
Except Lucy was so hopeful. Like, hey, let's just go our separate ways.
Again, disillusionment.
Mm-hmm.
She's got this very diplomatic way that, you know, in any other situation, absolutely would work. But because of humanity where it is in this world, ain't going to fly anymore.
Right. Right.
And Maximus knows that.
Mm-hmm.
I will applaud him for that, because he's very aware of this world, and he knows how to play that part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it ends up saving their lives.
Absolutely it does, or at least saving her life.
Yeah, I think, you know what, I will say this. I like Maximus when he's out of the armor.
Okay. Right, because he doesn't have that power trip. He doesn't have the power trip.
He is a stripped down version mm-hmm. of himself, mm-hmm. and I think it's a more honest version of himself. He knows...
He can't hide behind anything.
He can't hide behind anything, therefore he's more vulnerable.
Yes.
So,
boom. I think you're just jelly. You want the suit.
Who doesn't want the suit? It's the same thing with Iron Man, you know? You love Iron Man's complexity, but goddamn, any one of us would kill to have Iron Man's suit or Master Chief's suit.
It was so funny. At Brie Larson's panel, they were doing a this or that, and one of them was... Would you rather have Mjolnir or Cap's shield? And she's like, everybody wants Mjolnir. Who doesn't want Mjolnir?
Right, of course.
That's true. That's true. I mean, to an extent, I would love to have Cap's shield, but...
Both.
Yeah, except I'm not Chris Evans. I can't have both. Chris Evans is the only one that's allowed to say he can have both because he has had both.
But who wouldn't want the Brotherhood of Steel's armor?
The power
armor.
The
thing is so
fucking cool. Exactly. But again, just for how the story is going in this show, I like Maximus when he is out of his armor, when he is more vulnerable, because I get to see more of the flawed character that he is. I get to see more of his vulnerability. I get to see the true side of him.
Right.
That's what I truly enjoy about this show is... You're forced to see the truest version of people,
or the truth, which you know, jumping back to before the bridge scene is kind of what I expected with Lucy and the doc. Like, there's a conversation. She's asking questions, right? They're talking about what has happened, and that's what I was expecting her to do with the doc. So again, there's that little bit of like mischaracterization almost where. You know, again, this feels right just at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like she would know a little bit more about the world right now because she was with someone so experienced, or at least try to, at the very least. Like, again, maybe the doc would have just ignored her and kept on walking or tried to conserve his energy or, you know, whatnot. Mm-hmm. But with Maximus, at least, you know, they're on the same level. And she's able to ask him kind of point blank. Like, and I love it, too. Like, all right, so what's happened in the last 200 years? Like, just a quick recap. That's easy. Just a quick recap of 200 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, quick rundown. Nothing happens on the surface, obviously. I mean, nothing has happened.
Hell, give me a quick recap of the USA.
Uh-huh, exactly.
From, over the last 250.
Yeah, the last 200 years. You know, only two world wars, a Cold War, and that was just in the 20th century.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, there's a dog on my lap. But yeah, so then I love the first, like, so it's the first contention of what has really happened, right? It's the first time that Lucy has been kind of told what she, I mean, she hasn't really been told explicitly, but what she has learned is incorrect. Like, you know, okay, so I know this is what happened when the bombs dropped, and then basically catch me up. It's like, no, the bombs dropped when I was a kid, and that happened like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you know? So it's like, what are you talking about? That was 200 years ago. So again, it's that first time that she's like, there's something, you know, fishy. And then there's no way, like Maximus doesn't know what he's talking about. There's no possible, you know, reason for him to lie to me. But again, you know, now does she know? Does she not know? Or all this kind of stuff. But it also feels like the most accurate depiction of the future to me, where there's no concrete evidence because facts are almost like opinion based and true to only those who have experienced it. You know, and perspective is perspective and where you are kind of plays a major role in defining what you believe and what you think happened. And I think that that is the truest depiction of future events, because as we've seen already with misinformation running rampant, you know, what is true? And those who believe something is only based on what they've experienced, and there's no swaying anybody anymore. And that's fucking terrifying. That's the most terrifying thing that we've talked about yet. That's the most terrifying thing that we've gone into.
I mean, what do they say
with this show?
The history is written by the victor.
Yes, exactly. But who's the victor?
Yeah, who won this?
Exactly. Who won this?
Well, and no one wins. And I mean, which you see again in Shady Sands and the new California Republic, that, you know, even if you try again, the man's just going to knock you down.
Mm-hmm.
War never changes.
War never changes, and war is hell. But again, then we get a little bit of foreshadowing, and we get that little bit of something is up with this flashback, right? But it's something is up because the score tells us that something is a little eerie, right? Yeah. It's bright, sunny, everyone's smiling. It's this happy place because this is the moment where Lucy's like, for the longest time, I thought the big, you know, light in our vault was the sun, right? And then we flash to it, and it's like, something's not quite adding up in the way that it's supposed to, you know, and, you know, to spoil it, cause now we could talk about, how, what the foreshadowing is, Matt, that actually was outside, right? And that was, you know, so she did know what she was talking about. She did have a different experience, but then she was led to believe something else. She was led to believe that, you know, everything is better inside of vault, and everything is safe and secure, and is the only way to live and to prosper and to actually survive in these times.
It adds on to the propaganda that she's been fed her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And we find later on in this show that propaganda is just the rawest form of advertising.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you guys knew this, but a lot of our advertisers from the 1950s onward, guess who they took pointers from?
I think
the Nazis,
specifically Joseph Goebbels.
Yeah,
the master propagandist.
Well, I mean, come on, look at the conflict in Palestine and how many companies are funding that: Starbucks, McDonald's, etc. You know, the list goes on.
Yeah.
It is. It's always corporations are in partnership with military with the government.
Because what makes them more money? Conflict or resolution?
And
we find out later on in the show that, you know...
We'll talk about it next episode.
But
profiteering
now that
off
I'm
of
finally
things.
Caught up with you guys...
Yes.
No longer acting as the listener's proxy.
As a surrogate.
Because I needed to finish it.
Yes,
I needed
did.
To.
I'm so glad you
there
did.
There was a lot of questions that were left unanswered, and I'm really glad with the results of those questions because I think it was the most satisfying way to answer
Good.
Them.
Good.
But in any case.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, Betty, of course, wins the election. And then there's that moment between Norm and Betty where, you know, he congratulates her, but it's not really a congratulations.
No, it is like, good job playing this game so well.
Right. Right. Because he knows everyone came from 31. But then again, we don't know, like, what does that mean?
Where's everyone in 32?
Yeah, what's going on with 31? Why are they the ones who get to lead everything?
Yeah.
You know, where is everyone from 32? What the hell is happening? And Betty's like, you know
what?
Why
not let someone from 33 lead 33?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Nope, can't have that. But again, the score is also great in that one.
Yeah.
And then and then we get to the bridge standoff, and again it's this Wild West esque standoff.
Yeah.
I love it. The humor, the sarcasm, it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. But that it's just so Fallout. That scene is so Fallout, and I just wanted to touch on that again as we're making our way through the plot. But then to finish that, like, you know, with everything we talked about with, you know, Lucy being naive and finally seeing, you know, the fact that she can't have what she wants. She can't have the peace. She can't have, you know, the ideal situation no matter what. And just, again, her face just being so shocked and so let down and just like, why? Just she lets it out. Just why? What was the point of all of this? There's no reason for it, and yet it is. That's just the situation.
The hard truth of things is survival just takes over everything. Takes mm-hmm. over reason. It takes over morality.
Mm-hmm.
It really just comes down to it's us or them.
Exactly.
And that's the harsh truth that she's been learning and relearning throughout the series.
And not, I would say, to venture further, not even us. It's me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's mm-hmm. me or
it's
death.
Me versus them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter who you're with.
True, true.
No matter who you care for, no matter who you've traveled with, no matter who you love, no matter who your family is.
No matter who you pledged allegiance to.
Yes. It's me.
It's me by myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very cynical way of looking at an apocalypse. Which you'd think you couldn't get much more cynical because it's the apocalypse.
Sure.
But
at the same time, life goes on.
And we also kind of covered that in Furiosa a little bit.
Sure.
Like every time there's someone in power in the Mad Max world, they end up falling because at the end of the day, we're all here just to survive.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
Right. I mean, and it's also, it's a reflection on how we are now as a society.
Yeah.
I'm looking out for me, and I'm not compassionate about everybody else. I'm not thinking about what everyone else is going through. I'm not being empathetic.
Because the world has forced you to not.
In a way, exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard for me to care about anything else in the world because I've got my own bills to pay. I've got my own health insurance to cover. I've
right.
got my own mortgage.
Right.
Which literally means till death.
Mm-hmm.
So... Mm-hmm. It's hard. It's hard to care.
Exactly. And that's
just the whole point of this show.
It's twisting, but exactly, because it's twisting our mindset of how we view the world and how we view each other and how we view, you know, society as a whole. And it's a little bit depressing, to be honest with you.
Well, another sidebar here. Before we started recording, now that I had finished the show, I was giving this kind of a 7. Mm-hmm. But the more that we dissect this, my rating is going up because I am seeing the layers just, and I'm able to digest it a little better.
Right.
But it's those ideas, it's those concepts that always get me so engrossed.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. I eat it up.
It's a very juicy show. It's very, like, there's just, and there's a good helping of it.
And I'm really glad that Jonathan Nolan is working on this because I think he's really good at those kinds of concepts, of those deeper ideas
mm-hmm.
that are really prevalent in sci-fi, that are perfect for sci-fi.
Yes.
In any case, moving forward in the plot.
Well, I just was going to bring up because it also, like, along with all of these like deep themes and these deep-seated issues, then we also get like just interesting plot itself, you know, these interesting teases about who people are, like literally, who the hell are you? Because we learn that Steph is from Vault 31.
Yes, we do.
And not to jump too far forward, but knowing what we now all currently know about Vault 31, what the fuck does that mean? Who actually is she? Because now that we know that she's from Vault 31, right? If we move forward 3 or 4 episodes to the end of the show, all of that information now changes everything we've seen prior. All of that, right? All of that
it
anger.
It starts to make
all of,
sense, though,
everything
with her.
Makes sense. Everything that she's done, everything that she's led, everything, the little sidebars she's had with Norm when she went to Chet. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, your
her
father
control
would do the
Chet,
right thing.
Really?
Right. Oh, she's totally controlling Chet, 100%.
100%. And I love the humor with that, but now that you bring it up, there is that dark underbelly.
Yes. Yes.
People from Vault 31 are very good at manipulation. Why is that? Well, you find out later on, but
the way that little, like, it's not even a reveal. That little bit of information just changes her completely. And again, like, you look back, like, there was the one, I don't remember what episode it was, when we were talking about how like the Vault 32 or Vault 33 is trying to figure out how to deal with the Raiders, and they're having this big old, you know, public meeting, and we just see this back angle, you know, that this this angle from behind Steph, and she looks like a Bond villain, right? Because she is, because she fucking is. And I, and again, it just changes every single thing that you, that, that she has done in the greatest, most gratifying ways. So all I can say is we better learn.
Episode three, by the way.
Thank you very much. So we better learn more about who Steph is in season two, like where she actually came from, like what her role was.
I'm sure we will
in the past, you know, all of this stuff, like what the fuck is going on. And who are all of these people? She like she can't. And anyway, I'd be so disappointed if she's just a random person, a random higher up.
Oh no!
Right?
I don't think so.
Exactly. There's no way.
The way that they've written this show, there's no accidents.
Exactly.
There's no true coincidences.
Exactly. Right? There's no actual coincidence.
Yeah.
Except for maybe a couple things here and there, just to make sure we, you know, move the plot forward.
Well, yeah. It. But at the same time, whenever we're discovering more about the dark underbelly of Vault Tech,
right,
there's no coincidences.
But it's also that's interesting, you know, just staying in that scene where we're talking with Steph, when Norm comes to visit, and he's trying to catch her in a lie. Yes. Like, he's trying to trip her up, and I love that about, like, you know, so what do they say about Vault 31, you know? Well, what did your father say? Like, oh, you know, not much, as in, I'm not giving you anything. Like, I'm not giving you the answer that you're going to tell me. I'm going to go ahead and compare to both.
Subtext.
Oh, just fantastic. And now she's like, I'm fucked. I don't know what to say. I'm going to say the easiest thing I can possibly think. The mashed potatoes a little bit better. And that doesn't mean anywhere near what it means. All it means is Norm now knows something.
Yep.
Norm is on to something bigger than he should be.
Yep.
Which is so much fun to watch. So, and then of course, back in the service, we get the first mention of the NCR, the new California Republic. We get the flag. We get the billboard. We look at Shady Sands. And again, now a second time, now Lucy's like, wait a minute. Hundreds of thousands of people lived here? Like, what the hell? Like, this was never mentioned.
Including Maximus,
yeah. Right? And again, I love that where it's like, so they go to the crater. Maximus shows her what actually happened, yep. Which is just devastating.
He pulled a Indiana Jones.
Yeah, He did pull an Indiana Jones. and that is absolutely intentional. I remember mentioning that early on.
I think in the very first episode that we did of this show.
Yes. But yeah, this is pulling that veil back and going, Lucy, no, you're not just naive. Like, you guys have literally had your head in the fucking sand.
Oh, yeah.
For the last 200 years, and you're willingly resistant to change. You're willingly resistant to the idea that life goes on, and willingly resistant to the truth. That's the thing. Yeah. Again, it's a mirror on today's society. You're willingly resistant to the actual facts on hand.
Yeah.
And, okay, cool. I'm just going to go live my own life and pretend this never happened.
Yeah.
It's just fucking.
And that's kind of where she wants to be at this point.
Yes.
She wants to be back in that safety bubble of the vault.
I don't know if she does, though. Because after seeing the crater, after seeing, like, the billboard, right? Shady Sands, welcome to Shady Sands, 100-some thousand people lived here. And then seeing the crater, I think that she goes, okay, I got to know more. Like, something is wrong with the vaults. Like, I want to be there because I feel comfortable and safe. You're right. But I think that she really wants to be out and know the truth. I think that that's who she actually is.
Yeah, but there's points where she is saying, like, I would much rather be back home.
That's also fair. I mean, again, who wouldn't rather be back home?
Yeah.
But then I'm so disappointed by the flashback with Maximus again. We just see the same damn footage over and over, and we lose that opportunity to push it forward. We lose the opportunity to have more character development or more world building, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just a copy of something we've seen before, and it's just that, and honestly,
it's not
is such
the
a
same
sore
footage
spot
from
forward.
A different perspective.
With Shady Sands?
Yeah, with Maximus coming out of the refrigerator. Like, we just see, we get a little bit longer version of it.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing.
It's not giving us anything new.
Exactly. And like you said, it's not even a different perspective. It's not like it's from the Brotherhood side, or it's not like it's from, you know, later after the bomb falls, or like right before the bomb falls. Or like, we don't get anything but just the same look. And it just rubs me the wrong way when there's a missed opportunity like that.
Yeah, I mean, we've spent so much time exploring the backstories of people like Coop, the ghoul. We've spent time exploring the motivations of Lucy and even Maximus to an extent. But when we get that same footage over and over, it's like, okay, but then what?
Yes.
I would say that they're saving something for season two, but the way that I was taught how to write the first season of a TV show is you don't hold back because there's no guarantee of a season two.
Right.
Well,
there's probably
exactly
there is, you know, probably most likely absolutely going to be a season two. But when you're in pre-production and going into production, there's no guarantee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so you want to put everything you can into your first season. And what would have been nice here is seeing young Maximus being taken to the Brotherhood. You know, he's all alone. Everyone else around him is gone, so you know we see his introduction into the Brotherhood would have been a very nice moment here.
Right, exactly, or something, or like, are you scared of this dude in the power armor, or like your fear turns to amazement and wonder, and you know this, oh my god, this is a safe space. Like, there's just so much that could have been done, and that to me is just such a just a disappointment.
And while we finally get a reveal, like at the end of the show, who dropped the bomb.
Right.
In the first place.
Right.
There's still not a... There's not a reason why the Brotherhood of Steel is there.
Mm-hmm.
Other than maybe they're hunting for artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know what artifact it is.
Could be a fucking toaster oven.
It could be.
Do you even know what a toaster oven is?
Yeah. It's just... I think that's kind of what you're speaking to, though, Luke, is like we could have gotten so much more. We could have gotten it from the Brotherhood of Steel's perspective. Holy shit, there's a kid that survived.
Yeah.
Oh, he's perfect because he's strong.
New recruit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that could have been their whole thing. That could have been a massive theme that they stuck with his story of he survived because he's strong or because he was smart.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Or because he was chosen. Right?
Or because he was chosen.
Right?
Divine intervention.
Exactly.
Like, that's you're right, though, Luke. That is a missed opportunity. I just thought of three different ways they could have explored that story so much more and made Maximus an even more interesting character. Flawed, yes, but interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, get fucked, Jonathan Nolan.
That's it.
Luke's
views
do not necessarily represent the views of the podcast.
Just kidding. I love you, and your
Prestige
brother, Jonathan.
What? That's it. I'm out.
All right, so then to wrap up the episode, so... Lucy somehow finds a hospital that has been destroyed, so that's convenient. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
there are no accidents.
But again, so how convenient that, yes, there's a hospital that hasn't been destroyed, and she knows like what to look for and all of that. But I'm curious, does she not see the Vault-Tec logo on the pavement, or does she, and that's why she's so adamant, like, no, we're going here, and I'm going to trust this because she knows what it is, or maybe it's subliminal. Like, she just sees that type of logo and is like, cool, this is safe.
It wasn't clear, and it could have been clearer.
I think it would have been, again, more interesting had we gotten a little bit more time to just touch on that. Not a whole episode, not a whole scene, but, like, even just a mention of this.
Like, you need one shot to just clearly show what her, if it's intentional or if it's not, or if it's,
Either way, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Either way, but just give me a little bit and you know, let me interpret from there.
And who knows? They might have, and they maybe had to cut
true,
it for
very,
time.
True, very true. Or maybe they did leave it up to interpretation and just went, nah, fuck it, we don't. It's not necessary because it's not moving anything else forward. But I think it could have been cool.
But it does move things forward just by being there.
Sure. I think you're right. It does move things by being there because now it's something, again, maybe a little bit insidious, maybe a little
lays
bit.
The groundwork for the next episode, really.
It sure does. And honestly, I kind of, but Max is right. Like, when we get there, you know, he's like, there could be anything inside. It doesn't, just because it says hospital doesn't mean it's a hospital, right? Not and that's, anymore. Again, the whole, goes back to the trust thing. Mm-hmm. Lucy even though she's like skeptical in the beginning of the episode, even though she's a changed person in the beginning of the episode, she kind of reverts back a little bit to go, nah, I'm going to go ahead and trust what I know is best. Well, I'm going to go ahead and trust what I think I know is best.
Yeah.
And it fucks her. But yeah, so I really wish that we could read all of those terminals, because that was my favorite thing playing the game, was getting to read the terminals to get the backstory, to get the lore, to hear, you know, again, different sides about what was going on and the experiments and all of that.
That's something, even though I haven't played a whole lot of Bethesda games, I know that's what they're good with, is lore, is story.
Mm-hmm.
And they put everything there available for you to find rather than just shove it in your face. It's more like, no, you got to find this to truly get the big picture. You got to play the game.
I mean, Ella was talking about how in her panel, she was talking about how much pressure there was on the actors and everybody who was working on the show to live up to all the lore and everything that the video games had set precedence for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's just immense pressure. So, you know, you kind of got to give them some leeway, but in understanding, I guess. But, you know, when you're making the shit, you're making decisions, hard decisions, and, you know, you got to think about time. You got to think about budget. You got to think about all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe these were things that they just decided to cut for some reason.
Yep.
It would have been great to have. I agree.
Is what it is. Yep. Is what it is. And what it is back in Vault 32, we get the whole village, society, townspeople,
village people,
vault people, vault dwellers.
Vault dwellers.
I knew we'd get there together.
Village people's a band. My bad.
Anyway, so we get down back in there, and so then Betty's like, yeah, we're going to go check out Vault 32. And again, us as the audience is like, wait, what? Norm's like, wait, what? After what we just saw? What are you fucking doing? You're willingly showing people? And somehow, it has been completely re-fucking done overnight, which I want to know who worked on that project, and who's keeping them quiet. You think so?
I have a theory now that I've watched it all.
Okay.
Do tell.
Well, I can't yet. Why? Because... Well, we haven't gotten to that episode yet.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. As long as you've written it down somewhere so you don't forget it,
okay, then
we'll get there.
Yeah.
You've got it right. You've got it somewhere?
Oh, yeah. No, all right, cool. I have it deep in my vault.
Hey. Oh,
I finally got
there you go.
All right.
So anyway, so again, another perfect song placement. What a difference a day made, right? Because again, in one fucking day, they got the entire thing up and running. They've cleaned everything. They've moved the corpses. All of that.
Without
and then they
anyone
have this,
knowing.
You know,
without anyone
without
knowing.
Without anybody else, none the wiser. Yeah. None the wiser.
Well, we...
Except for Chet.
I mean, we don't know who knows, right?
And,
there might be other people who know that helped.
I mean, obviously somebody did.
Yeah.
Obviously
and
someone.
And it couldn't have been just one person.
That's true.
You That's too big of a job
couple
for
Roombas
one person.
Too.
Unless it's a superhuman. Could be a mutant. Could
Maybe.
Be a robot.
Perhaps.
I'm sure there was a robot involved.
Ooh,
probably was a robot.
You sound so
I
confident
know
about this.
Which robot was involved.
Yeah. Whatever.
We'll get there.
We'll get there. I'm so excited.
But the from a filmmaking standpoint, like these are some of my favorite cuts, is the intercuts from what Norm and Chet had seen the night before to this blissful, right, this whole, you know, bright and beautiful and sunny paradise that, you know, like as if nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, it's great. It's fantastic. I can't remember what I was going to say.
The cuts between, like, the really dark.
Yes, yeah, the really
stuff.
Dark, you know, just, you know, with the corpses, with the blood, with the splatter. I mean, even you get to see, like, a little bit of the paint that's been, you know, painted over, and it's been so freshly painted that it's definitely different.
Yep.
It's like, oh, my God, only two people know what actually has happened or what this is all, you know, all about.
Can't wait.
But again, that kind of that matches right after the Raiders attack, right? When Vault 33 is literally painting over the blood splatter, right? So they're just la-di-da, you know, we're just going to clean this up as if nothing happened. We're just going to move forward. So again, something sinister, something real fucking weird's happening. And then, of course, the terminal, the overseer's terminal, has been smashed, but not removed, because nobody else is going to think to go to the overseer's quarters except for Norm. So Betty knew exactly what she was fucking doing by leaving that terminal and not replacing it with a brand new one. She left it intentionally for him to see and to go,
I know what you're up to.
I know what you're up to, and I know that you're looking for things. You will not find the answers. I will not let you.
Yep.
Like, in some way, shape, or form, in some version of what I just said, you know, to I don't know, figure it out for yourself.
Her actions sent a message.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Or do we know if it was Betty, or do we know if it was, what did you say, Stephanie?
Oh, shit. That would be even crazier.
Because we know later on that she ends up being the overseer of 32.
Right. Right. Now, that would be interesting.
Sinister.
Very interesting. Very sinister. Again, I love that shot where Betty is walking up behind Norm like she's about to murder him in a way.
Almost.
And then the conversation, right? Very vague. Find anything interesting. He just, great job cleaning up, because I fucking know. Mm-hmm. I know you know that I know. So I'm not going to say anything, but I know what happened here. I know what I saw.
I know what I saw. There's no way you can prove that I did it, though.
Do they not have cameras?
No.
Their Pip-Boys don't have cameras on them?
No.
There's security cameras.
That's way too
implied.
Advanced technology.
There's some security cameras, but not in every vault and not in every location.
Sure.
Because I know that we see that even in the next episode. We see security footage.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that when we get to it.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it seems unnecessary, I guess, or the vault dwellers think it's unnecessary because, hey, when we give people what they want, what would they need to snoop around for? Yeah. Or, you know,
what crime? What war? Uh-huh. What discomfort?
I mean, it kind of reminds me of this other show that's like Fallout called Silo, with Rebecca Ferguson. It's an Apple show, but they basically banned those kinds of they call them relics in the show in Silo, for the purpose of control. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised if like when they were approving items that could be in vaults, that cameras were left off.
Sure.
Well, for certain vaults, I think we're gonna see it in the next episode that there's some things that happened in some vaults and other things that happened in other vaults.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And with 32, 31, and 33, it's interconnected, but it's we know who's truly controlling all three, and it's 31.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that 31 doesn't have secret cameras?
Right,
that
there aren't cameras, and 31 is watching, right?
Yeah.
Or 30, or the overseers are watching, or something like that. It's very possible that there are.
It's just that the vault dwellers are none the wiser.
Exactly. And I love the exchange, like the furthering the conversation between Betty and Norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so well written and so well acted. Mm-hmm. When he asks, you know, what happened, just point blank, like what happened to my mom's Pip-Boy? She says it was buried with her. He goes, how can you be sure? How do you know? And that line, and then the way that she stares at him.
Did it.
I buried her myself, he and your father. And then she just like daggers him down as if to say, like, motherfucker, I will fucking bury you too, you little shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, ice in her veins. And
boy,
I love
you're getting
that
a little nosy there, kid. Be a real shame if you started poking your nose where it shouldn't be, like a gangster or something.
Oh man.
That's my really bad Joe
Thank
Pesci.
You, Matt.
Oh, it's perfect. Perfect. Never change. Never change.
We love it.
But the destruction of information, or the destruction
Troll.
Of access to information, exactly, allows you to write any rules you want. Mm-hmm. It allows you to change any history that you see fit. It allows you to control.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And it's just terrifying.
Truly.
Truly terrifying. So then Lucy and Max wake up. Max's arm has been bandaged. They're still isolated, right? Something's going on. But Lucy's calm and happy again because she gets up and she looks around and she's like, oh, I'm back where I need to be.
This seems familiar.
Very familiar. And it's happy home-ish. She's been since the first episode. In the first episode, I should say.
Yeah.
So happy.
So happy.
So happy and horny.
we'll get to that in the next episode.
We'll get there. Happy and horny.
Because where are they? What does she say? We're in a vault.
In a vault. But she still truly believes it, right? Like, yeah. She believes that we're in the best place in the world. Like, she still has a long way to go before her character progression is through. And right, she's taken strides and she's changed.
Yeah.
But I think it's the most interesting thing to see her in the beginning as a changed human being, to go through what she's gone through, and now that she's changed, plop her back into where she was.
Yeah.
Because that is the most.
That's
her what
the
she
vicious
wants.
Cycle.
Give her what she wants.
Yeah.
She's seen things now, but all she wants, you said it best, right? What she wants is to go back home. She yearns for the safety and the comfort of her vault. She yearns to go back to what she knows. Okay, cool. Let's give it to her.
Yeah.
And then we find out, we'll talk about it next episode for sure. And then, all right, so Luke.
Yes.
The credits pull out. The animation has a locker room inside of an elementary school, and it looks like some kind of downtown on the edge of a crater of a bomb. So what does that signify for the next episode? Anything?
Yeah, the lockers are part of the vault. What?
I don't know. I see. That's what I wasn't sure, because I got the crater. I got the town because we're right there.
Yeah.
What was the school? What was the locker room in the school? I don't remember. I don't know. I don't know that there was anything for the next episode.
What is the next episode?
The next episode's called Trap.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into it when we actually record, but we delve more into. Coop's, I guess,
history, backstory,
a lot more backstory, a lot more of who he was, a lot of the veil being lifted for him, his growing suspicions, but we also get more about, you know, the sinister plots, plural, of the vaults.
Yes, now we start to see things are really in motion, gears are turning.
Yeah,
but. So I like the episode overall. It was a great tease of the next half of where we're going.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite of episodes that we have, but it was very important progression. Like we got two of our three main characters together finally. We introduced Betty as a threat to Norm. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of teased how malicious 31 is. But we don't really progress too far, I guess, in the world.
No, but it's enough for us to, like, we've spent the first four episodes really exploring this world,
right?
And now we get to kind of explore the second half. It's definitely all about Vault-Tec,
right?
And how they created this world.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
Because that's episode six. I think episode six might be my favorite episode of this whole thing.
All right, well, definitely stick around and continue this journey of Fallout with us. Matt's excited for the next episode. I'm excited for this next episode. Luke will be here, I guess.
I'm here.
He's still so starstruck from his weekend at Fan Expo.
Yeah. He can't quite fathom what just happened. So stick with us. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts. We've got... episodes every week. We've got episodes every Thursday and every Sunday. I believe this episode's coming out still in July, so we should be working our way through our war movie for Movie Club. We're talking 1917. We're talking Full Metal Jacket. We're talking Jojo Rabbit. So let us know what you guys think about our Movie Club choice this month, what you'd like us to do for future movie clubs. Hang out with us for some more. I don't know if we've decided exactly what we're doing for the rest of the Thursdays in July, but we've got some great things coming. We've got some games up on YouTube, so go check us out on our YouTube channel. We're all over socials. Make sure you like and subscribe and say hello, tell a friend, and enjoy the episodes, enjoy the movies, because we'll be talking to you guys later. All right, bye
bye
bye bye.